This is Description, episode 49 for January 15th, 2008, with material recorded December 27th, 2007.
Make yourselves at home, take pictures, movies, whatever you want to do. Have any questions, just fire away.
Welcome to Description. Valerie in Toronto. Hello, I am Valerie and I am in Toronto. Heh. Inside, not outside, in the snow, where you heard me last time. Yikes, that was nuts. Just now, I think it's finished melting out there. Yeesh. But now we're inside, and I'm pretty happy about that. So, hope everybody had a great holiday season, whatever the fuck you want to call it. I spent it back home in Ohio, again. You know, I have no job. I need to go someplace where there's free food. So I stayed down there for 12 days. That's longer than I've spent down there since I was in exile 10 years ago. So, and I lived to tell the tale. Hooray! Actually, it was fine. You know, some of the usual drama, but it was pretty good. Got to do a whole bunch of things, and I even cooked, and it was good, and it was a nice time. And one of the things that I did down there will be the sound seeing tour for the episode today, but there's still going to be a Canadian connection to it. So before I left to go to Ohio, my friend Julie sent me an email saying, hey, while you're home, I've been bugging Ron to see if we could go to the Christmas Story House in Cleveland. You might remember Ron and Julie from the Boxing Day episode a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, of course I do.
we'll go back in the archives. The episode's called Boxing Day in the USA. I can't remember the number, but it was pretty funny. Anyway, Ron and Julie are my friends back home. God bless them. And I meet up with them every year when I come home for Christmas. And this time, Julie had the idea that we would go to the Christmas Story House. You may not have any clue what the fuck I'm talking about. By the end of this, you will. So, and she suggested that I bring my iRiver because she thought it would make a pretty good podcast episode. So by request, here it is. Now, there's a connection between, well, there's a lot of connections, actually, between the Christmas Story House in Cleveland and Toronto and Canada. And the big connection is a guy who is another one of these people we keep bumping into during this whole podcast series, people who came to Canada from the States. And this guy's name was Bob Clark. In fact, I have to go reach over and pick up my big Christmas present for this year, my iPod Touch. Yes, I'm one of those annoying people who goes prattling on about cool Apple gadgets they've gotten. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Yeah, well, I'm one of those. But we'll just do it just this once, because I've picked it up, not just to show it off to you, like you can see it, but because it has a web page on here from the Film Reference Library of the Canadian Film Encyclopedia, and they have a biography of Bob Clark, who, by the way, was killed last year. He and his son were killed last year in California, I believe it is, in a car accident with a drunk driver. Yeesh. But let's go back, shall we? Bob Clark was American. He was born in New Orleans, and he grew up a lot of the time in Florida. And it says here, though the career of American-born director Bob Clark likely registers as little more than a footnote in the United States, he looms unusually large in Canada and has left many imprints, some of them less distinguished than others, on the Canadian film industry. Snotty. Yeesh. So Bob Clark was starting to make movies, you know, little movies, in the States. And his first kind of major-ish movie was Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. This was in 1972. And that's kind of a well-known movie among people who are into cult horror. And it did kind of well. Well, Bob Clark got the offer from some Canadian distributors back then who wanted to buy the film to distribute in Canada. And he was like, oh, okay. So they made the deal, and they distributed in Canada, and it did very well. And so through making this deal and hearing about this stuff, he got to know some people in the Canadian film industry. And back in the early 70s, the Canadian film industry, you know, could fit in a container truck, you know, not kind of nascent back then. So we got to know these folks. And so when he was making his next film, which I think was Death Dream, please don't have any film geeks beat up on me, but he was making Death Dream. He decided that though he was filming it in Florida, he was going to do the post-production in Toronto, in Canada. Probably because, you know, he got to know some folks and like the facilities they had, and because it was wicked fucking cheap to do it up here. So, always willing to save a buck, he came up here. And according to an interview I read with the Canexploitation that they did with him a couple years ago, that was when he fell in love with Toronto. In fact, he used those terms, fell in love with Toronto and with Canada. And he became a landed immigrant about a year or two later. He never ended up becoming a citizen, to the best of my knowledge. Like, I became a citizen. But really, I know from firsthand experience, getting landed immigrant status is the hard part. So he went through it to be up here. And so here he was in the incredibly young Canadian film industry. He was kind of a medium-sized fish in a small pond. And kept making movies. And the first one of those that he made here, in fact, just blocks away from here at the University of Toronto, was Black Christmas. And that movie was a big deal as far as influence is concerned. Oh, I think it was also called Silent Night, Evil Night, it says here. Silent Night, Evil Night. Brought him to Canada and initiated his decade-long dominance of Canadian commercial filmmaking, facilitated in no small part by the country's tax shelter policies. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Black Christmas, filmed on location, remember the location support episode I did, filmed on location over here, became pretty much the template for all slasher movies ever. I mean, the deal where it's a bunch of women and the killer knocks them off one by one and you're not really sure who the killer is, and you have shots in the film that are like from the killer's point of view as he's stalking his victim. That's all in this movie, and it all comes from that movie. Really. Honestly. So a major film historically, and it was done right here. Now, after Black Christmas, he did a movie called Murder by Decree, which was a little hoity-toityer, although it did have to do with Jack the Ripper, and there was some, you know, nasty violence, but it's a Sherlock Holmes movie. And Christopher Plummer was Sherlock Holmes. Christopher Plummer, by the way, Canadian. And James Mason is Dr. Watson. James Mason was not Canadian. But a lot of other great Canadians were in it. Jean-Vier Bugeaud, Donald Sutherland, Susan Clark, other people I can't remember but I know are Canadian. And it was pretty much done here. And won a lot of Genies here. Genie Awards are our Academy Awards. And I mention it because I worked on it when I was at that last job. I was describing it for when it airs on City TV. And it's a damn good movie, really. There is this end part where Christopher Plummer as Holmes is going off on this whole big political rant or whatever it is. And it's just awesome. So, you know, if you're, you know, looking for something at the video store, you're at the bottom of your barrel on Netflix, pick it up. I think it's well worth your time. So a couple movies after Murder by Decree, Bob Clark makes Porky's. Along with featuring Kim Cattrall, Canadian, and a bunch of other people. And also kind of setting a template, along with Animal House, for teen sex comedies that continue today. It also is globally the highest grossing at the box office English-Canadian film ever. Now, it was passed just last year domestically by Bon Cop, Bad Cop as the highest grossing English-Canada film in Canada. Okay, but globally, Porky's is still number one after all these years. And Bob Clark did it. So now, by this point, he had, well, if not cred, he was on a roll. And there are people who figured he made movies that made money. So what is the next film that he makes? A Christmas Story. Ta-da! See the connection, how that worked? Let's see what it says here in the snotty film directory thingy. The uncommon success of Clark's box office hits was typical of the tax shelter era in the sense that, aside from token financial involvement, the films themselves had nothing to do with Canada. That's actually true, and it kind of continues, and it kind of sucks. Thank you, truck outside, for backing up and making beeping noises. This would remain true, this whole not looking like they're from Canada kind of thing. This would remain true for his next film, The Endearing, A Christmas Story, 1983, which was nominated for 9 Genie Awards. Clark won for Best Direction, Best Screenplay, blah, 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 blah. Well, A Christmas Story couldn't look like it took place in Canada because it's a story that doesn't take place in Canada. I'm going to set down the iPod Touch now. You can stop being annoyed by me showing it off. A Christmas Story, as you may know from seeing it maybe umpteen times, is kind of supposed to take place in this Midwestern city, which, well, according to Gene Shepherd's stories, that's from whence it was adapted, it's kind of supposed to be northern Indiana, but there's no city that size in northern Indiana, is there? Except for Gary, maybe, but... So, Bob Clark had to go in search of a Midwestern town to film this in. And so he searched all over the place, and what's the city he ended up with? Cleveland! So the film is kind of, but not really mentioned, set in Cleveland. Although, you know, Public Square is Public Square, and Higbee's is Higbee's, and, you know, the tower is the tower. And the house is the house. The family house of the family in A Christmas Story was in this little neighborhood in Cleveland. And that's where they shot the exteriors for the house. By the way, in Cleveland, they shot the scenes in Higbee's, the scenes outside of Higbee's. God, I hope I'm right that it is Higbee's. I keep mixing it up with Hallie's and the May Company. Those were the other major department stores in Cleveland back then. Anyway, I think it's Higbee's. Looking in the department store window, those boys, you know, slavering over all the toys in the beautiful window. Cleveland. The whole deal with Santa Claus, psychotic Santa Claus at the top of that big old slide and everything. Cleveland. And the outside of the family house. Cleveland. However, the inside of the house was filmed in a studio in Toronto. The scenes around the school were filmed, I think, in St. Catharines. So filming of A Christmas Story was kind of split between the two great cities of my life, Cleveland, Ohio, and Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And so, while I'm home for Christmas, Julie suggests that we visit the Christmas Story house. Now, there are some lovely people who, a couple years ago, decided to buy that house, which was kind of run down, dilapidated, normal person's house. They bought the house, gutted it on the inside, and made a recreation of the interior of the house in the movie. Eh? Even though those interiors were on a soundstage in Toronto. So they did the whole thing, and they bought, like, another house across the street as like a gift shop, and another house also across the street. These are kind of little houses, little old houses. And another house down the road as like a museum. And so that is where myself and Julie and Ron, that is where we went on the 27th while I was home for Christmas. And so here we have the soundseeing tour of our trip to the Christmas Story House.
40-person maximum.
Excuse me.
Except there's an evil elf in there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Typically, it takes about 45 minutes to an hour.
Excuse me.
No problem. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Can we get in on the tour?
I think so. Have you already been to the gift shop to get tickets?
No,
that's what we're here for.
The gift shop, you go down the street, follow the fence. It's a white house with black trim just right next to us.
Oh.
You grab your tickets there and then just head straight over to the porch.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's kind of spread out, isn't it? So we're going from the Christmas Story House Museum, which is across the street from the actual house, to go down the street to the gift shop. Well, geez, I didn't realize it was like a whole block of stuff.
Is there a Christmas Story Cafe around here?
It's a campus. Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's another way?
Compound. Christmas Story Compound. Ah, this is where we go in here. Whoop, careful. Just jump the stairs.
Hi.
Hi.
On
this one?
What's that?
It's an open house today, so you can go on.
Do they have a guided tour? We thought it would start every half hour, it said? Or?
Normally we do, but when it gets crowded, it's just open house. But there are tour guides there if you have any questions.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Sure.
These stockings.
Oh my gosh. So, I have to describe these things. What's in the gift shop? Well, we've got Lifebuoy soap for family health. And we have stockings.
And for washing your mouth out.
And for, yes, if you use the F-dash-dash-dash word. Stockings shaped like leg lamps.
The big one.
Action figures.
Oh, for your front lawn.
Leg lamp lawn ornament, which is puffy and inflatable, which I hate those. But still, if you're going to have something, a puffy, inflatable lawn ornament, that would be the one to have. Some actual proper leg lamps. 50-inch for $1 for $199.99. 45-inch for $149.99. 26-inch for $99.99. And 20-inch for $44.99.
And
a Ralphie Christmas ornament with Ralphie standing on the stairs dressed like a bunny. And a Christmas ornament of the tongue on the pole, and a Christmas ornament of the leg lamp in the box.
Oh my God, it's
other ball type ornaments with photos.
That's too funny.
Board game, Monopoly. Holy heck. It's a major award. Puzzle of the leg lamp. And mugs and glasses. Golly. Postcards.
Okay.
Sweatshirts.
Triple dog dare you.
A little figure of the car bringing the tree home. And Ralphie picking up his brother.
You gotta have a special.
Ralphie showing the glasses broken. Holy golly.
Yeah, exactly.
A little village, including of the house itself, which we'll be in very soon, of Higby's. with decorative light strand of lake lamps. Stills, toque, that says double, triple dog dare on it. Holy heck. Hats, shirts. I like that photo of Higby's
right,
up there.
On the website, it does say time. Yeah, okay. You're not crazy.
Christmas cards. Leg lamp head knocker. What on earth does that mean?
What's a head knocker?
What's a head knocker? Let's find out. I don't know. Leg lamp head knocker.
We have a quick question. What is the head?
What's a head knocker?
It's a bobblehead.
Oh.
It's okay.
A bobblehead.
Oh, heaven's sake. Okay.
I'm like, door knocker? No.
Head knocker.
So many people ask. Yeah. I don't know why they name it.
Why they call it?
Is there suddenly there's some sort of copyright on bobblehead now?
No.
Wow. Okay. Head knock. We've learned something already. We haven't even gone in the house.
Yeah, really. A useful piece of
head knocker. A lamp knocker. You could have called it a
bobble head.
A bobble lamp. You could have called it a bobble lamp.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Okay. I'm just curious.
Well, let's see. Does it look like they're moving over there? Shall we move across?
Yep. Let's go. Okay, up to the Christmas Story House, which is quite well done in this kind of puke, dark green, beige thing. Puke, green, light green, dark beige kind of thing with blue-gray painted bricks done in that strange yellow, puke, green, beige, yellow color with green accents.
They had to rebuild this porch, so they must have had to distress it.
Yeah. Because much of it does seem very new feeling. And lights along the top of the veranda and the leg lamp in the window of the veranda. The delicate lace curtains are opened around it. And standing right in front of one of the security cameras. Hello!
Can't really see the lamp.
No, you have to get kind of close in. And there's a sled propped up against the front wall of the veranda. Or as we'd really call it here, porch. ooh, mentioning the Chinese restaurant.
All right.
That's great.
Here we go.
If you have any questions, just fire away. Hi.
Hello.
Make yourselves at home, take pictures, movies, whatever you want to do. Have any questions, just fire away. Your tickets are good for 20% off at the CNY Chinese restaurant.
That's what we were hoping for.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
You get the meal like you see it in the movie if you're up for that.
Awesome.
All right, who wants a picture taken with the fragile? It's Italian.
It's Italian.
Italian.
Fragile. So now we're inside the house.
How are you doing?
That was actually a soundstage in Toronto.
There we go. Hey, you get 20% off.
If you believe Wikipedia. And I do. But they've redone it here. And it's... And my first impression is it's way bigger than I thought it was. It probably is because of the structure of the actual house. And the inside and the outside weren't the same thing, so I guess it would be bigger. Because in the movie it feels very, very, very small. Okay, we got our picture taken with the leg lamp.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check your ears.
And we go over across the front. Oops. Let me get this one. The tree, and all the lights are working. The red ones and the blue ones and the green ones. Yeah. Lots of tinsel, which you never see anymore.
All right. See if that's okay. No good. We're doing another shot.
Now we're taking pictures of the mantle. Pictures of mom and dad over it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is next to the tree. And the star is perfect. Moving past the little rocking chair and standing at the foot of the stairs that he comes down.
Go up?
Up we go. Yep.
Hi, 883. Oh, no kidding. Thank you for showing up. Appreciate it. Hi. He's a stand up.
Photos of the family on the way up. Oh, the phone.
That's a cool phone.
Oh,
yeah.
Does that look like the one she used to call the parent? Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Here, Belle, why don't you grab the phone and
rat
on.
Oh, no.
Rat on the neighbor kid.
Do you know where he heard that word?
No, I don't.
From your son. What?
So there are the old light switches that are push buttons instead of switches.
Show.
A Darmark private. And approaching the bathroom. Which is cordoned off.
Oh no.
With the soap. With ivory soap.
Oh, and he's got his decoder ring there.
And decoder ring on top of the a notebook in which he made out the special code that comes out to be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
I know. You can't.
Done a couple other things. You still see him
stand
acting. I can't
remember. Zach Ward, yeah. Canadian. What's that? She's talking about the kid who played the bully. Zach Ward, who's Canadian. He was Canadian. The teacher was Canadian. Teddy Moore is Canadian. She was in Murder by Decree. We're in the boys' room now. Got Ralphie Spud has Red Rider jammies on, laid out on the bed. Sailboats and lighthouses on the wallpaper. That old fan. There's some lists of things that were popular at the time, relative time. Some say this was to take place in 1939 or 1940. It's kind of around that time. So they have like pieces of news and music and movies and interesting facts. And there's his Rafi's theme book with his theme that he got a C+ on what he wants for Christmas, which someone has written, P.S. you'll shoot your eye out. Oh, old typewriter. That everyone has tried to type on, so all the keys are messed up.
Look at the handles on this.
Oh, yeah. Weird. It's encyclopedia or books, blocks with Rani, Ralphie, Opa, Bumpus, and Fragile. Old Monopoly game. Do we get to open the closet? Empty closet. Back out of the room. Into the kitchen.
The way I always put it is in the middle of summer. We'll no, they don't have anybody since the kitchen. I know. It's funny.
And the turkey is here before the dogs get to it. Oh, yeah. Huge sink.
No, just bench to create myself.
Your daddy's gonna kill Ralphie.
It's a calendar on the wall for January 1941. Oh, yeah, Werner's ginger ale. Bottle up on top of the armoire. Pretty much everything. Got your Chipso and your Dexo and your Wonder Doll. Tapioca pudding, Irish root beer, Brer Rabbit molasses, caro syrup, empty bottle of Drambuie. And of course, just outside the recycling bins, newspaper on the table from Chicago Sunday Tribune of June 11, 1939. An ad from Marshall Fields. Oldsmobile, $7.77 and up. And an invitation to the thousands who walk in misery from Dr. Scholl's.
Mom, it's your cream and sugar set.
Yeah, it is. Oh, a little tiny fire extinguisher.
Not necessarily.
The size of an aerosol can.
I wonder what I wanted to look for. I wish that they had made that dial for the furnace.
Yeah. Remember? Oh, yeah.
I was wondering,
is there a basement?
There is, but it looks like, you know, seriously dangerous.
Oh, well, yeah.
But yeah, like, remember there was that big, that dial on the wall?
Yeah. Looking out the back door, which we can't go because it's emergency exit only. Well, the ad was right. There is a view of Cleveland.
Yeah, not the best view.
Ooh.
Keycat.
Oh, there's a kitty in the neighbor's slide treehousey thing. So at the back, there's Birdbath and the shed in the back. Same colors as the house.
Muddy.
Oops. Yep, can't go down the basement. Ah, we can't get to the furnace, but we can see information about the furnace. We can see the manual and accessory items for the furnace that need to be acquired. So there's especially a lot of space in this entry area, more than there would have been otherwise. This is a comic. There's the comics section of the Sunday Tribune sitting on the on a rocking chair on June 11th, 1939 with the gumps on it. What?
For 08, yeah. Julie's big house renovation.
Which means we're having a lot of garage sales to earn money.
Yes. So in the middle there are two, as they may say, Davenports, back to back, one really long, one facing the tree that's a little shorter and burgundy, velourish type stuff. There's the big radio console Pardon? Oh, and that's where the music's coming from, is that radio console.
Well, this house was built in 1895, so you gotta, I mean, the way they build houses now, they banish everything. The way they built that island is two different things. And this was an immigrant neighborhood. All the people worked out of the hills, so almost all the houses they built around here are built by 6 feet wide.
We're good?
I'm ready. Whatever.
We're good. Yeah, I know.
No, unfortunately, we don't have one. And what we plan on doing with the empty lot over there is having a custom where you can stick your head in and be able
to. Oh, fancy.
We thought about doing it on the steps, but just
nice.
Did it build like a parking lot over there?
Well, that's why we tore down the house, was to build a parking lot. Here, ma'am?
Ma.
But then that just wasn't going to be feasible, so.
Oh, okay.
So now we're just going to grade it and put down grass, and we have a nice place, especially when the weather's nicer, that a family can sit out and enjoy a soda pop and, like I said, do those cutouts.
Yeah, this does put a lot of traffic on those side streets.
Yeah, it sure does. But then, yeah, I mean, we're open year-round, and it's only around now that we're pretty obtrusive. So.
That's possible. That'd be cool. We're waiting for people to stop coming through.
Bye, Merry Christmas.
Thanks. Merry Christmas. Get on the side here.
They need the tin sign. That
side steps.
You know, or
yeah, that's right. Back in the museum. Articles from the plane dealer and thereabouts during the release of the film. Right now is first new played the Mean Elf.
We had to come to be busy 6 at night. From 6 at night till 6 in the morning for 6 nights. That was our.
And there are various little pictures and stuff.
Wow. To shoot the interior Santa sequences.
So while they were filming,
those little moments that
with little pieces of information.
Piece took 3 or 4 or more hours to shoot. A lot of hauling the kids and a lot of dragging them around.
Wow.
And it got easier and easier to be evil as the week went on.
Now, did you do it during Christmas season too?
It was in January.
Okay.
We were shooting in the middle of January.
Okay.
This moon started. So, but everybody involved in the Santa sequence, and that included all the little kids in the Santa line, had to be up all night, every night.
Yeah.
For 6 nights.
Were a lot of them just extras here from Cleveland?
But kids were, yeah.
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 How about yourself? Are you?
Yeah, I was cast from Cleveland, but I was a Screen Actors Guild contract, so I was called in by a casting agent.
Okay.
She called me and said, they're looking to cast an elf with a really bad attitude. And she said, I think if you come down, you'll get it. Well, I'm not sure how I should feel about that.
Yeah.
But I went and I met the assistant director that day. And he said, well, you have a lot of the qualities that the director's looking for, but unfortunately his concept is he wants to cast a teenager, which at the time I was 32. So I became incensed, and I just grabbed my elf photos that I brought with me out of his hand, and I said, well, then you need to be more specific with the casting people, because I don't know why you've got me down here if you already know you want a teenager. Obviously, I'm no teen, but good luck with this whole teen thing. But if you want a professional elf, you know where I am. And I stomped out. And I drove back to work saying, I'm going to call that casting agent tonight. This is ridiculous. Why are, if they know they want a teenager, why are they dragging me in here? And then she called me that night and she goes, oh, they want to see you again. And I said, no way. Let me tell you what happened when I went there today. And I told her my story. She goes, well, in spite of that, they've called you back.
That's probably why.
So I went back the next day to meet the director this time. And there were over 300 girls who had auditioned. And there were two of us that were called back, me and a teenager. So I sat there thinking, well, the AD already told me yesterday that he's looking for a teenager, so this is not going to end well. When I waited to get called in, I got called in to meet the director. He never had me read or anything. He just shook my hand. He goes, oh, we're definitely going with you. So my hissy fit the day before is what got me kissed.
I cited that out.
And that was it. They're like, oh, we're definitely, you're exactly what we're looking for. So who's in it? And at the casting call, I was ended up being the factor that got me the job. So right away, as soon as I met the director, then they sent me to costume, and they measured me for my elf suit. And then we started to work. About a week later, we started shooting. And I only had the part of the script that I was involved in.
Right.
So the only thing I knew about was the Santa sequence. And so when the movie was released later that year, I went to see it, because, of course, I knew I was in it. And I took my kids. And that was the first time that I knew anything else about the whole rest of the film. I had no idea, because we only had sides when we were working, because they were shooting most of the rest of it in Canada, and I had nothing to do with any of it. So I sat there, and I just laughed, and I thought it was so funny. I thought, this is unbelievable. I'm in this really funny, really good movie. And then I read the reviews, and the critics hated it, just hated it. So it only lasted on the big screen for a couple of weeks, and then it just disappeared. And it was about 2 years after that when it was released on video, and I think 1985. And people were renting videos a lot at that time. Everybody was getting a VCR, and people were renting movies and buying movies. And that's when I think the first real renting it for a holiday rentals and stuff like that. People started to become more aware of it. Before then, literally, you know, nobody saw it in those theaters. I was one of the only people who had seen it on the big screen, and that was only because I knew I was in it. So, and here it is almost 25 years later. It'll be 25 years in January. We were shooting the Santa sequences in January of 83. And then they finished shooting in Canada in March of 83. And then it actually was released on the big screens in November of 83, all the same year. It was so fast. It was just amazing. So, and we were shooting all night, every night, to do those sequences, which was really a rough way to go. But here we are, almost 25 years later, still going strong.
Did you grow up in this area? Oh, did you?
Yeah, he's a really well-known actor here, so a casting agent in town called me in to come read for them.
Are you still with
him? Uh-huh, yeah. Excuse me. Anyway, nice to meet you. Happy holidays.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.
Story.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, we are closed on that.
And that's it for another episode of Description. The Christmas Story House was really great. If you happen to be in the area of Cleveland and you go see the usual places, you go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I would recommend you go to Coventry and hang out down there. I would also recommend going to the Christmas Story House. It is a really nice time, and these are really great people who know their stuff and put it together with a lot of love and care, and it's a really nice experience. I highly recommend it. And I have links about the Christmas Story House, information on how you can visit, along with other links about other stuff discussed here, on the blog descriptiontoronto.com. Now, I'll leave you with some sound from our final stop after the Christmas Story House, and that was the official Chinese restaurant of the Christmas Story House. Thank you for listening, and take care.
Movie poster on the way in. Thank you.
Woohoo! Lemonade just up.
Whoops, sorry. And they have the film playing on a big screen. On a big screen.
I just said, you know, it's not like we didn't watch it enough. 24 hours. Now that's quite the eclectic mix.
Yeah, there's this pretty awesome display thing. It's like if Kranix had a Chinese restaurant, it would be that. It would be that display right there. And as they show the movie, it doesn't have sound necessarily, but they keep the they've got the subtitles, English subtitles on.
Oh, no way. Chinese turkey.
Which is pretty thoughtful. That's pretty cool.
Can you try Ralphie's chicken?
Yeah. I tried Kentucky duck and I didn't like it. Have you ever had it?
Oh, there's a special menu. Peking duck, lake lamp, lobster, mum's beef, Ralphie's chicken, Black Bart's barbecued ribs, stuck shrimp, fragile fish. Sounds Italian. Secret Dakota rings, Red Rider rolls with banana and crab. That's funny. Miss Shields witchy wonton soup. That's the Christmas story menu.